Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, I want you to know that I have been speaking for the last 8 minutes, and you guys haven't heard me. This is why I know, good morning, that I am on target this morning.
Oh, there it
is. Oh, yeah, I'm on target this morning, and the enemy has a issue with anything that I'm about to say today, because usually I'm very aware of whether I'm on mute or not when I'm speaking. I've had that issue a lot. Well, a couple of times over the history of ministry. And so I'm very cognizant of that fact. And this morning, as I'm sitting here and I'm speaking to you, I'm saying a lot of things, but you weren't hearing any of it, because I know I'm on target this morning. The adversary is definitely, he's definitely present for the conversation. I can tell you that, okay? He understands that with this kind of conversations are this deliverance. So what I was sharing, a great good morning to everybody. Good morning to you. We're thankful for you to be here with us. This is Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide. You have just connected yourself to a company of prophetic intercessors. This is our session, and we're excited to be here this morning. We're excited to be alive in the era of even greater works. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just take me right back through what you took me through, and I'll follow. We're excited to be here. The Master made a statement to the sons as he was ascending to his place, his throne, and he made a comment about, "An even greater work shall you do, because I go to my Father." He said, "I'm going to make space for you. I'm going to make room for you so that you can do what your purpose is in the earth. I've come and I've accomplished my purpose, and now you're going to need to accomplish your purpose in the earth." I'm unmuting you guys as you're coming in. Be aware of that. And this morning, I'm excited about what the Father wants to discuss. He's been dealing with me for about a week and a half and taking a direction. A little more intentional direction, because there's some things that we are facing and some things that we will face in the coming days. And we're going to need to know what we're supposed to do when we're facing these things, physically facing darkness on a level that we've never seen before, that we've never witnessed before, that we're not aware of until the time that it springs forth. So we are in the season of birthing. And it's a lot of things that are being born. I'll go back down that line of reasoning with you just a moment here. But there are a lot of things that are being born. You need to understand the fact that where there is light, darkness is lurking. And the adversary's intention for the sons is to bewitch them, is to cast dispersion upon the truth of the light of the word that the Father has given. He's intentional about his decision to deceive. And so we've got to be very intentional about what we believe and what we will receive and where we're receiving it from. We got to be very intentional about what the Father is saying to us and what we're doing about what he's saying, what we're hearing. This morning, the Father's taking me in a direction that he's been talking to me about for maybe a week and a half very intentionally. It's not something that I don't hear often or all the time, but I don't converse about it all the time. Maybe one-on-one or, you know, in a little group or small groups, but it's now time to kind of blow the lid off of some things because, you know, a lot of people are dealing with and will be dealing with some very strange phenomena in the next coming seasons just based on where we are in the history of mankind. And the word declares it like this, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man appears. And we're not talking about the second coming at this moment. We are talking about the sons of men, and maybe we'll get into that this week, but I don't want to jump down that rabbit hole. But I want you to just go do a study of the Son of Man. Just look up Son of Man, find you a Bible search engine, you know, or just put it in your Google search, because Google's supposed to know some things, right? Sure. Put it in your search engine and put Son of Man and put Bible, and you'll see all the verses that come up. And in those verses, you'll notice also that the Master is not mentioned yet, or he's not there yet. But we are referred to as the sons of men. So, and then you'll see also that they're daughters of men. So it's really important for you to realize some things in this season. It's very important because a lot of people don't realize what they're facing. And because they don't realize what they're facing, there are a lot of fears, and there's a lot of apprehension and a lot of the adversary backing some people off of their rightful positioning. One of the things that I woke up this morning with, and I've got a couple of notes here, he was talking about terrain. He was talking about territory. He was talking about terrain. He was talking about cutting cords. He was talking about wombs. It was a whole lot of stuff that was going on with me this morning when I woke up, and it was not coincidental to me today. I was kind of moving along. I felt like I needed to watch something. I watched a couple things yesterday, but I felt like I needed to see a movie. And so I went on Netflix, and the Father led me to a particular movie. I had actually seen the movie before, but I didn't realize that I had seen it before. I thought I was picking something new. I would like to tell you the name of the movie was, but I can't think that I've something about Section 39 or something. I don't remember right now, but it was about a caseworker who thought that she was really helping the situation but didn't realize what she had gotten herself into, and this 10-year-old girl was not being abused. She was actually more than what met the eye. And so it's a very interesting trek, but it just kind of reinforced the conversation that the Father was having with me about the direction that we're going in. And it has everything to do with this dark psychology of the spies, because there is something that they have to behold to in order to carry the report that they carry against what they see. They have seen this promise. They have identify whether they've even brought the fruit of the promise out of the place, but yet they stand in opposition to acquisition of the promise. And this is that terrain thing, the territory thing that the Father was talking about. The adversary is one of the largest landowners. I know that sounds funny, right? He is. He loves the territory. He desires to acquisition the land. And I'm talking about that. I'm not just talking about regions, but I'm talking about peoples. I'm talking about peoples. I'm talking about nations. And so this is one of the reasons why the Father declares to us to ask of him for the nations for an inheritance and the ends of the earth for possession, because this is what our right is, that we would be able to acquisition the people and the land for his glory, that we would return the land and the people back to him. it's just an amazing time in this season. One of the things that came up this morning was the Father connecting the dots for me, because I was asking, you know, like, okay, we've been talking about the dark psychology of the spies, and I, you know, I don't mind switching gears because that's what he does with me all the time. He talks about a thing when he's done talking about that for whatever reasons he's done. Sometimes he can be done because, you know, he wants to move on. Sometimes he's done because there's not enough receptivity there. And so he never lets us waste our energy or our time talking about things as sons. He'll move on. He'll move on. He'll say, okay, they're not ready for that, or they can't hear that, or whatever. And he'll move on to something else. It's not that he doesn't know that, but he will release a thing to identify the hunger in a people as well. And so he knows what he knows, but he also will always release the thing because it's his love that causes him to release it. And what we do with what he releases is up to us, because he's given us authority and dominion in the earth. And so it's our responsibility to be receptive, or to be open to whatever it is he's saying. But he began to talk about the let my people go situation again. And this, what I wrote in the episode info section, is that this is the first declaration of the coming deliverance of Yah concerning his people. You know, before then, there was no cap. There were, well, there were different levels of capture, but this is the largest capture and the largest, or the longest capture that had ever been. And that was the children of Israel, you know, when those 17 came over from the promise and went into Egypt because there was a famine. Well, I won't get into all of the discussion about the purpose, but famine only comes from idolatry. Famine comes from disobedience. Famine comes from just not being in the right place, doing the right things. It comes from being opposite of what the Father is saying. So when famine comes, you have two options. You have the option to go as Abraham did, and go into Egypt and find food or find sustenance, or as the Father told his son Yitzchak, stay in the land. Isaac, he said, stay there. You're not going to follow in the footsteps of your father in this scenario. That might have worked for him, but that is not what I'm calling you to. He said, stay in the land, and he told him to plant. He told him to plant, that, you know, that planting is an establishment of some things. It's stay in this place, and I'm going to establish you. And what he did was he followed the instruction that the Father gave him. And in his following the instruction, the Bible declares that he received a hundredfold. He just received so much, and it was less than a year. The things that he planted, there was such a harvest of what he received. It was a supernatural harvest. Just let my people go. In that, he began to remind me of the remembrance of this release, the remnant that he released to me, maybe about 4 or 5, it might have been 6 years ago at this point, but there was a saying that he gave me some years ago about the release of the remnant, you know. And I just want you to know that it is time for the son's release. I don't know where you've been bound or where you've been captive. I don't know what your children are tied up in or any of that, but I know that it's time for the release. And when we are released, when the remnant is released, then that's when the remnant can rise. It's about the illumination. It's about the information that brings transformation and reformation. And listen, it's our time. It's our time. You've got to be released so that you can roar. This is our manifesting, innovating, creative hour, and we've got to be released so we can roar. But we're going to have to identify the ties that are binding us. We're going to have to identify the cords that we're connected to. We're going to have to identify what needs to be cut so that we can freely worship. What needs to be cut so that we can freely worship. If you identify with this phrase that came out of Exodus, there's a conversation. The leader of the Hebrew children, Moshe, says to the king thing. I call it the king thing because it's the thing that's ruling over the people. We're talking about things about deliverance. So you'll hear me say a couple of different phrases. These phrases are, you know, synonymous with the things that the Father has given me particularly. So I refer to them as this, and they are to also enlighten us and give us even greater understanding of principalities and powers and how things work, right? But this king thing is ruling, and this son is speaking to the rulership. He's speaking to the king thing. He's speaking to a reigning authority, and he's saying to them, let my people go. And he's saying, I'm releasing this message, not from myself, although I'm the one that's being utilized to declare this thing. But the Father's purpose was, let my people go so that they may worship me. You know, we've often asked, and I don't know about you, but I've often asked, and I've heard it asked over the years, and definitely over the last 20 years, people have said, well, you know, why are things so different in church? You know, why don't we see deliverances, and why don't we see miracles, and why don't we see these signs and these wonders? And it's because the people are not free to worship. What does that mean? It means they're bound by things. There are cords that they're connected to. It's things that are preventing the worship, because the worship experience is, first of all, an experience of obedience. It's not just when we raise our hands. It's not just when we sing a song. It's not just when we do a dance. But the purest form of worship is obedience. It's compliance with what the Father is saying. Well, quite frankly, when you've been a captive for so long, you can't find the place to comply. But it's the cry that matters. When you cry out, you know, that's the beginning of the deliverance. The cry is the beginning of the deliverance. And so the sons are being organized and put in their ranks, and like they were in the Hebrew children's camp. You know, they all had their ranks and their the things that they did, and there are specialists in every area, and all of these things together make them who they are to go up against whatever they're standing against. But the first thing that is the wisdom of that movement is the fact that they are beholden to their king. They understand that. They understand his movement. They understand his mindset. They understand what they've already been through and who brought them through it. There's proper recognition to the Father to identify, it's not me, it's not us, but it's him. And this deliverance thing is really, it's a really big deal. We've heard a lot of things over the years. These are things you're not going to hear in church. And I was saying before, when I couldn't be heard, that, you know, it was one of the areas that I had to learn as an adult that I was not told as a child, that people are crazy. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm not saying that, you know, as an across the board, but there are people that are intentionally functioning on levels that are just simply outrageously against what the Father is saying, and their intention is to bring harm, is to put you in a place of detriment. They're people that are open. They don't know, some of them don't know that they're being used, but they are vessels that are available. And so the adversary is using the available vessels, okay, to accomplish whatever his agenda is in the earth. And so we have to be very aware of these things, because we want to make sure that our children are not these vessels, our grandchildren are not these vessels. And it's going to take some work. We're going to have to put in some work in the season to ensure those things. It's not going to just happen because you say a prayer. I was sharing with Elder, and I was sharing with some other people the other day, that warfare is such a vast conversation. And we think that in the church that warfare is just when we come together to pray and we do all the antics and we raise our voices or elevate our voices or whatever. When we elevate our voices or whatever those things are, but it's not warfare. It begins in a spiritual realm, but it has to take a natural state. And sometimes our warfare is a financial warfare. A lot of times our warfare has to do with financial, with our movement, has to do with our location, has to do with a lot of different things. And sometimes those places are very uncomfortable for us. But we have to identify them as places of warfare. And move into the territory and do what needs to be done, that it might bring deliverance to people. I'm going to look at some things this morning. Let's see here. We were talking about the hunger the other day, and that's absolutely imperative in order for us to actualize the deliverances that would need to take place. It's a hunger. It's a hunger to know what the Father is saying. It's a hunger to do what the Father is speaking to us. It's a hunger. He said, those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness will be filled. Your hunger will not go without being satisfied. Your thirst will not go without being satisfied. It will not go without being satisfied. It's the thing that is necessary to keep you alive is your hunger and your thirst. It's a desire. It's a place of desire to fulfill something. The desire to feel some things. And without that hunger or that thirst, there's a place where, you know, when people are not hungry, where they don't have a thirst, where they don't have an appetite, only thing that the result of that is death. And so as long as you live, you'll need to have a hunger. As long as you're alive, you'll need to have a thirst. And that longing or that desire to feel yourself on any level, on whatever level it is the thing that's going to keep you alive. I'm trying to log in here because I have some notes. Good morning. Good morning to all those that are online. For 8 whole minutes and nobody could hear me this morning. I said, wow, this is serious. This is very serious. One of the things that the Father spoke to me about this morning as I was rising was the masquerade ball. We've got to begin to identify this adversary and his masquerading. I want to talk particularly from the point of children this morning, because the Father's really concerned about the seed. He's really concerned about the children. A lot of times people are thinking that as long as the children are not, how do I want to say this? What people don't understand is that a lot of children have learned to live under the radar. I'm going to say that. They've learned to live under the radar. They don't cause a lot of ruckus in your life as you can see it, but it's still things that you have to identify with or check out, because if you don't check them out, there will be strongholds that are being established or set up in those children. So we have these devices, right? And I've been speaking about the devices for as long as you've known me, Elder. I know I've been talking about devices. Been speaking about these devices. I've been attempting to tell these parents that this is not a toy, that it's not something that should be in the hands of their children unattended, that this is a grown-up thing and that it should not be released into their hands, because you release it into their hands, you're releasing a level of responsibility that they have the capacity for. And so one of the ways that they is getting the children, I want to tempting, because he's been very successful getting access to them, is through the device. And one of the things that the word says is that we be not ignorant of the enemy's devices. Now that sounds like, well, that's a spiritual thing. Well, that spiritual thing turns into natural things. So it is a device that begins in a spiritual place, but its reality lands in physicality. It's a reality. It's a physical thing that he is using to bring the deception, to bring this ignorance or this blindness or whatever. And these children have the very device that we're not to be ignorant of in their hands. And the fact that this is the device, the fact that we don't know that it's a device, that we don't know that it's a weapon, that we don't know that it's a tool of darkness to penetrate the life of the child. So I've been talking about these devices for years and even prophesied to many people about the device and what impact it's having on the children and their children in particular. And we're in this age now where this is a real problem. You know, from this device, they are gaining all of these insights. It's, for me, it reminds me of the garden all over again. For me, it reminds me of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. They had two things that they could be eating from, but the majority of the time, what's in their hands is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of this knowledge of how to do good or try to do a good thing, but it's not right, okay? And so as long as they're living under the radar, most people are not alarmed or even aware of what's setting up in them. I mean, you know, I've heard people say, I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know what, you know, what their deal is. Well, what their deal is what they're dealing with. This thing that's in their hand, it's exposing them to all kinds of things. And I think I was talking to you the other day, Elder, and saying that, you know, there was a day you brought this up that, you know, in another time we didn't have access to so many things, but there was a day that we were kept from the demons of Asia, you know, the devils of Nigeria. We were kept from, you know, whatever was going on in Egypt, you know. Those now, these devils are in the kids' hands. They're coming through the cartoons. They're on YouTube. They're looking at everything. All these nations have representations of what they serve, what they worship, who they are. It's coming through the cartoons. It's coming through all kinds of silly things that they watch. It's coming through YouTube influencers. All kinds of things are happening, and we're not aware of the cords and of the womb of darkness and what it's feeding the children. We're not aware of that. So when these little things happen, we're wondering, where is that coming from, or what is that about, you know, and how do I fix it? Well, the Father's intentionally taking us in a direction of deliverance this morning. I believe he's going to, he's connecting this to the conversation about the Hebrew children and them going into promise and the dark psychology of the 10 spies. There's something that's being heard that's keeping kids from the promised place. As a matter of fact, I believe I've said this some years ago, and I will stand by this, that the thing that's in their hand is keeping the things that they need to have in their head. When have you heard about children's dreams lately, about what they aspire to be? Not talking about, you know, they went to school and they sat around in a circle and everybody wanted to aspire to be a firefighter and all of that, because that was the desire of the circle, of the community. You know, it was what was being pushed on them. I'm talking about kids that dream. When I was coming up, I dreamt. I had dreams. My grandchildren, they have had in seasons, they have had dreams. They come back and tell me these dreams. The enemy is a dream catcher. He's a dream stealer. If he can't give them nightmares, he don't want them to dream, because he doesn't want them to see who they are. He doesn't want them to have an identity that could come back to remind them of who they are. I remember having dreams that I still behold to today. There are things that I'm walking into in this season that I'm recognizing as the things that I dreamt as a kid. You understand? So he wants to steal the dream. He's a dream stealer. He's a destiny destroyer. And so these things that we're dealing with are often coming from their surroundings, their environments, the people that they're connected to, and the things that they're holding in their hand. But just because they're under the radar and it's not causing you a lot of disruption in your life right now does not mean that there is not something that's being established or set up in them. You've got to pay attention in the season to know what's going on. I was saying when I was on mute that I was sitting yesterday and I had watched a great many things. The Father was revealing some things to me about what was to come with me, some things that I was going to be delving into and all of that, and kind of sat around for a minute and I felt like I needed to watch a movie. You know, every now and then I have those moments. And what he led me to, I didn't realize that I had seen before until after I really started watching it, but I don't think that it was by circumstance or by happenstance that I wound up on this movie. And I wish I could find what it was. I can't find it, I will, but it was a story about a 10-year-old girl and this social worker who thought that she was doing a service to this child. She was saving the child from the parents. But she was literally putting herself in a bind that she had no idea. And this kind of brings me to that concept about the cords, you know, about these cords of darkness and how the enemy wants to kind of hook you up, connect you. He wants to put you in this womb and connect you to this umbilical cord of darkness and feed you and sustain you through whatever it is that he's doing, whatever's being processed through that cord. But she didn't realize that she was actually setting herself up. She didn't realize what she was doing. She thought she was doing good, And she thought that these parents were horrible parents and that they were under this little microscope. She's trying to figure out all these things about them, but not realizing that she was just simply the little girl's next victim. You need to understand that there are no baby devils. This is what I want to share with you. So when children are functioning from a place, they're not functioning from a place that they know of particularly, but they are functioning from a place that is set up in them. And these devils are not intimidated. They are not backing down without a fight. If they've been living there for some time because the kids have been under the radar, quote unquote, in other words, they're not creating a direct ruckus in your life. So, you know, you still see things that they do as cute. You know, I came to a conclusion yesterday. There are some things that work in some of my grands that I'm like, okay, that was cute in another season, but now I'm having an issue with it because it's a little bit too mature. You know, the conversation is a little bit too much. You know, they have this feeling or this urge to be heard when they want to be heard. You know, when they want to speak, it's like you almost can't turn them off. You know, and it made me think about the phrase just now that adults used to have when I was growing up, children are to be seen and not heard. And that just used to seem so harsh, but there is a time for silence. There's a time for quiet. And you'll even identify this connectivity of the adversary of darkness through these little things, like the over-talking, the over-speaking. You know, like what are you talking about? Like, where is this coming from? When you're asking those questions about where things are coming from and what kids are dealing with, you're asking yourself that. And listen, you got to recognize there's something at work there. In the movie, this little girl's parents, the caseworker or the social worker, realized had barricaded themselves, or they had these bolts and these locks on their door. They were barricading themselves from her at night to protect themselves. Okay, which is what she ultimately wound up doing. This adversary was looking to exploit the fears of the people that it was connected to destroy it. There were people that had died and been destroyed just because this child was open, an open sepulcher. She was a vessel that was being used by darkness. I'm trying to explain to you that there are no baby devils. And so when it comes to demonic activity, it's nothing to play with. It's not a game. There's nothing to play with. This is a real snap. Really looking to do some things with what he's acquisitioning. Okay? My father was talking to you about this masquerade ball, and I told you I'm not going to talk real long this morning because I really want to pray concerning this thing. I want to pray into this thing, and we're going to speak further on it, but there are some things that we need to pray into. Your mind has to be prepared for this. Your heart has to be ready for this. And there's some things you're going to have to do about what you're getting ready to hear. You're not going to be able to just hear this and not do anything about it, because to not do something about it means that you're going to allow it to happen. You're going to allow it to happen. The adversary is specifically, after the youth in the season. His desire for the elders is just to kill them, you know. But his desire for the youth is to get them, to make them his territory, his property, so that he'll be able to accomplish the tasks in the earth that he's desiring to accomplish. You know, this has taken me back some years to when I was living in St. Louis, and I was showing my children some things. There were some things that were, it was chatter during that season about children and about them being made the police of their homes, how they would tell on their parents and the parents would go into prisons and different things because the systems would see their situations or their environments as detrimental and not helpful to the children. They would tell, you know, that there would be mandates that go out that you can't wash clothes or you can't use water or you can't do this or that. And the parents would do it anyway. And when the kids come to school, they would do assessments and ask questions and find out and give rewards and all this kind of stuff. And this was going on years ago. This is not a new thing, but it's been a conversation from years ago that is now getting ready to rise again. It's getting ready to come back to the forefront, right, again. And so we're going to see a large number of cases and conversations where people are going, where parents particularly are going into different captivities because of the conversations of their children, that these children are having conversations with the systems. Be very aware of the fact that you do not want to open your family up to the systems of darkness, the systems of this world, because their aim and their desire is to destroy the family unit and to take these children. I know that people think, oh, there are different organizations that are set up to protect children. Their main objective is not their protection, but it's their acquisition, because they have needed them, whether for sacrifice or to make them whatever they need to turn them into. I know y'all have watched a whole lot of different things, and maybe you've seen some things where children have been taken. Maybe you understand different projects, military projects that were underway. Maybe we'll discuss them more in detail this week. But you need to identify with what's really going on in the real world. And the adversary's whole MO is to make sure that you are ignorant of what's really going on, that you only see what he wants you to see. The only way you're going to be aware of what's really going on is if the connection between the father is a live connection. He talks to his kids about what concerns him on their heart, the burden to see and to hear and to know what's concerning him. And he's very concerned about the young people. Very concerned. Father, we thank you this morning that this is a week, that this is a time that you're going to usher us into some identification of the systems of darkness, this masquerade ball that the enemy has kept up, this thing that he has used to hide behind. You're going to begin to reveal to the son so that we can go in and grab our children out of the clutches of darkness in this season. We recognize that the adversary comes simply to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And there's some things in those specific categories that he's looking to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But there remaineth a rest for the people of Yah. This is your word, that there remaineth a rest. And even as in the Psalms, there's a discussion about what will not come nigh our dwelling, only with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked. 1,000 falling at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it not coming nigh us. That would include this darkness. That would include these things that the adversary is attempting to set up in our midst, in the very midst of us. The enemy is setting up his camp, his systems, and he's trying to work through our seed. Father, we thank you this morning that you're revealing, that you're blowing the lid off of this thing, that you're blowing the lid off of this cover-up. Hallelujah. We're in this era where we've been, there's been an attempt to conform us to the mask. Well, it's the mask that's always been worn just from a spiritual perspective, but now the enemy wants to cover us up, cover our faces, cover our mouths. Funny that he would cover the place that you breathed into so that that would be an affected place that, you know, God, I never can understand what people are saying when they have on the mask. I just don't understand them. First of all, I can't see their lips moving, so I can't even make out what they're saying, and it's a muffled thing. It's a thing that disconnects us. And this morning, you're taking even that away. You are moving even that. You spoke that there would be an unapologetic apology, and we're looking at stories. We're looking at news stories. We're looking at all kinds of information that you're sending down the pipeline that is blowing this whole pandemic scheme out of the water. Father, we thank you this morning that we're going to realize that what they set in place is not the only pandemic. There's a pandemic that's beyond that. There is a place in the earth right now that's not understanding. We've been under this pandemic, but it's been under a pandemic of ignorance. It's been a pandemic of deception. We've been under a whole lot of pandemics in this season. This was just a physical thing that would show us that the pandemic has already existed, not the pandemic as they say it is, but the pandemic as you're showing us it is. We thank you this morning that we are coming into this place of clarity, you know, and of clearly identifying what it is that you're speaking to us. You know, the mask is meant to not bring clear identification. But it's funny, we came from a world of don't wear a mask because it's against the law to wear a mask because you need to be clearly seen and visualized. Now, all of a sudden, that's not an issue. We want everybody to wear a mask. We have to understand the agendas of darkness. And so we're thanking you this morning that you are allowing us to see behind all of the hiding and pretending, that behind all of that is a real adversary that's lurking in a real world, seeking for real prey. Hallelujah. We're thankful this morning as followers of the way that you have sent a son that has already shown us the way, and that way has been made, that way has been paved, and all we have to do is walk it out. As the master was in the earth, he cast out devils. He sent his disciples two by two to deal with the demonic activity that was going on in the regions concerning his people. So we thank you this morning for clarity. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for understanding this morning. And we thank you for the spirit of obedience, that we might do the thing that you've called us to do, and that we would not be deceived. You said if it was at all possible, the very elect. We know that the elect can't be deceived. But what you're saying in your word is that this deception is so great that it would possibly deceive even the very elect, but because of their connection, they could never be deceived because of their connection. But if ever disconnected, it would be a thing. You're talking about the strength of the deception of this hour. We thank you right now for revealing to us that just because a thing's been living under the radar doesn't mean it's not impacted by this deception, that it's not been penetrated by this darkness. We break the power of the binding cords, the umbilical cord, which is a delivery system to our young people in this season. This womb of darkness that is housing them and giving them discomfort, because we know that when a baby is in the womb, they're comfortable. They are in a place of comfort, in a place of peace. Well, there's a false peace that's been given to the young people in this hour as they're in this womb of darkness and being fed through this umbilical cord, this thing that's connecting them to the things of this world. We're thankful this morning, Father, that you're revealing in this moment how to bring deliverance and how to cut the cord, how to push them to the place of dilation. Because there's nothing that, you don't cut the cord without the thing dilating or the water breaking. All of these processes you've shown us from a natural perspective so that we could understand the spiritual ramifications and the spiritual processes to get our children to where they need to be so that deliverance will come. We thank you this morning. And we give you glory for what you're going to do in our houses, in our households, for what you're going to do in the households of those that are listening that have children all over the face of the earth. If they're listening in, if they'll hear this, whoever will hear this, Father, will identify with the fact that deliverance is come. This is the purpose of your kingdom. It's your kingdom, it's your power, and it's your glory forever. We thank you right now that the adversary would be silent concerning this glory that belongs to you, concerning this seat that belongs to you. It's been his whole goal and his whole desire just to get the glory that belongs to you, to get the praise that is due you. And today we position ourselves to return that glory back to you by taking charge of our environments and taking charge of our homes and declaring words in season that would bring rest to the hearts and the minds of the people that are under duress in this moment. We give you praise. I'm going to open up the line just for a moment. You guys can share. And I believe we're going to get off of here this morning, but this heavy task, not an easy task to have. We got to realize and recognize things. In order to do that, we've got to take the blinders off. We've got to come out from under the mask and not allow those things that have been masquerading to masquerade anymore. We've got to call it for what it is. And sometimes when you call a thing what it is, you'll feel some kind of way because you're dealing with children. And so the enemy wants to play on the whole innocence piece. But a lot of what we're dealing with in this season, their innocence has been impacted. And so now they're working from places that you don't even understand are very diabolic, working from places
I'm looking for sympathy, you know. That sympathy angle is something else, because when you see a thing as a child, you want to deal with it as a child, but when you're dealing with the spirit of the thing, then you're not dealing with the child. And it takes wisdom to separate those things. It takes real wisdom to separate those things. The line is open. You guys can share if you have something to share this morning. If not, I'm going to get out of here today because I'm going to go in more time.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Pop?
I'm good. The first thing, at first I wasn't going to say anything, but then it came to mind, you know, when the enemy starts dealing with us, period, usually it's at a young age. It doesn't start as an adult. He starts at a young age.
That's right.
If you go back into scripture, when he was looking to get rid of the Savior, he looked for, you know, he killed all the babies trying to find him.
Come on now.
He wiped the babies out trying to find our Savior to get rid of him.
Yes.
And that was at the age of a baby, you know, all the under two, get rid of them. So I'm saying that's how he works. He starts at a young age. We don't usually like this, you know what I'm saying? We usually late to the game. But the enemy starts at a young age when he's working with us. He starts trying to, like what you said, deal with our identity, our dreams, you know, let somebody mess with you as a child to mess you up. Yes. You know, he don't wait till you get old.
No.
He starts when you're young.
That's right.
Most of the things that have happened to us, you know, if you look back, it didn't just start when you got at a certain age. It started at a young age.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, he starts to impact and the trauma in our youth. That's a fact.
And we, you know, some of the things that we do, you know, and like you said, the different shows and the music and all these things that we, you know, the fables and all these things, they're for young people. You know, they're for the kids, usually. The stuff that we're doing, we look at it as nothing. We look at it as innocent, child's play. Everything is not child's play, but we look at it as child's play.
Yes, ma'am. It is not. I was going back and forth just for a moment with one of my grandbabies the other day, because I'm very, you know, like if they're using my phone to watch something, I'm right there. You're not going off nowhere with my phone. I'm going to know what you're looking at. So they know that when they're looking at something, it's automatic. You sitting right here next to Granny. And if I don't hear it, it'll be a sensing in my spirit. Something has shifted, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, where are you looking at? Where are you watching? Mm-hmm. And they hand me the phone. Oh, it's just so-and-so. I'm like, it's just witchcraft.
My daughter grew up in Kansas. It was a child in Kansas that committed suicide. And the note that the child left was, "I've seen too much." And in my mind, I'm like, what could this child have seen that caused this child to kill himself? He was driving a Mercedes. I mean, parents had stuff. He left a note and said he had seen too much, killed him.
My God.
And also there, it was some kids that had, one child had committed suicide, and they were doing like a suicide pact where I guess they agreed that they were going to kill themselves. One child stood in front of a train and let the train hit her while her friend watched.
Oh, my.
So,
we've been sheltered from this as a child and doing things that we do within churches for. We don't realize what's really going on behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? We don't realize. what's really going on, and that's the scary part, that they're a generation that'll be destroyed if we don't stand up and realize what's really going on. You know, but the enemy's job is to keep us blinded, to keep us blindsided, and as long as things look okay, to think that they're okay. You know, mm-hmm. I said, give me that. I see things that, you know, we normally watch or we saw, you know, different fables or whatever we saw as kids, and I'm explaining, like, if they watching these things, I'm explaining to them what this is. Like, for some people, they'd be like, that's over the top. Like, you know, Cinderella don't need an explanation. Absolutely, she does. Yeah, absolutely, it does. And if I'm going to let you watch that, I'm going to have a whole conversation with you. And I don't just sit and watch fables, quote-unquote fables, and we're not going to have no conversation. You know? And you can't keep this stuff, you can't keep everything from you. You sit in the school, you're going to be exposed. They have to be armed. What you're doing is going to be exposed. That's what you're about to do. Because these systems have their own way of doing things, particularly in the season. They will call a lockdown and say, parents can't come. Once you sign some paperwork, they'll say, your kid is quarantined and they know you can do about it. Y'all better be mindful of these systems in the season, because the adversary is not playing no game, not playing no game concerning these children. None. Okay? He's not playing no game. He's very serious and he's very intentional. Very methodical about his movement. Okay? So if you're going to send your kids back into a system, you better recognize what age you're living in. You better recognize the ramifications of what you're doing. I'm just telling you, because it's going to be a lot of parents that are up in arms that they will assign their children's lives away. Literally. Those forms that they're giving you, I can't think of the name that they might be, but these are forms that they'll have you sign that say that if anything happens, okay, that they're not responsible. You better read that stuff. Because the moment they say if something happens and we're not responsible, that means they're planning to do something. Because how do things just freak out? Accidents just happen and nobody wants to be responsible for it. You can be responsible for the kid, but you can't be responsible for the outcomes while they're in your care. Make that make sense. Affidavit. Say, I can't think of what they would be called. I usually know what they're called, but... Yeah, it's a lot of signing of things, and you better know what you're signing. You better read what you're signing. If you don't understand it, you better find you an attorney to read it to you and make you understand it, or somebody that can read legalese, because legalese is not written in English. It looks like English, but that's that deception. How they speak in court, it sounds like English, but it's not the same language. What they're saying when they say this is something completely different. And this is how the adversary works. He's speaking a language that if you're not spiritually connected, if you're not in the kingdom, then you think he's saying one thing, but he's saying something completely different. Something completely different. You know? Like you said, Prophet, he starts in the youth. He doesn't wait till he becomes adult. There's an impact that he wants to make so that as the thing grows, it's growing a certain way. This is why the word is very intentional about train up a child in the way that they should go. Why is that there? Why is that conversation there? Because the father knows that the enemy is coming. He knows that there's going to be an adversarial objection to the birth of this child. And so if you're training them up in the way that they should go, like you train a plant, you know, if it's going all over the place, you kind of put a stick in the dirt and you put some string or some zip ties or whatever and kind of pull it back to where it needs to be. It's a lot of just letting things go. And it needs to be a pullback in the season. And I said this to somebody the other day. I think it was you. A lot of people think that the older they get, the more freedom they should have. No, the older they get, the more you should hold back. You should pull back on that thing. Yeah, you need to pay attention. That's not your moment of freedom, the older they get. That's your moment to really dig your heels in and make sure that the direction that you were setting is the direction that they're going. Come on, the line's still open. Still open. We thank you for that. And people think that by the time they hit 11 or 12, then, you know, when they start getting old enough to wash their own backs, wipe their own butt, you know, walk by themselves, feed themselves, but that means that, you know, we're not responsible anymore. Oh, yeah, we are. We absolutely are. And we've got to be. It's not our moment of freedom. Okay, one down, 4 to 5, 6 to go. One down, 2 to go. If I get everybody that age, I'll be a lot more free. Mm-mm. No, you are, for lack of better words, you're going to serve this sentence for the duration, okay? You're going to serve this sentence. There's some things you're going to have to comply with, some things you're going to have to do in this thing. Line is still open. If you don't have anything to share, we're going to move on. And we're going to be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Just be ready for whatever the Father wants to discuss. I spoke for 8 minutes earlier. I said a whole lot of things, but I wish that I only brought some of that back to my remembrance this morning when I opened up the line. But we're going to dig into this thing because we need to understand the dynamics of religion. Man, it is so amazing how interconnected things are and how the word just covers the whole gamut. It just covers the whole thing in the way that the system of deliverance is set up. It's not that hard, but it is a responsibility. It really is. It's a responsibility. Gotta want it to do it. Don't take some of your time. I was telling Elder the other day I had to get my attitude together because the Father put me in a position, but the position that he put me in, I was thinking more along the lines of something else, and he said, this is a position of deliverer. And this manifestation of this deliverance began with your finances. You know, sometimes you'd be like, my God, this is really, I'm spending a lot of money. He's like, yep, deliverance sometimes is financial. It has a financial overtone. And I think I shared this yesterday. In a conversation that, you know, when in Paul's day, when the body was coming together, the people brought things. Why were they bringing things to lay at the feet of the apostles so that he could distribute it, so that they could deal with the spirit of poverty? There wasn't going to be no poor people in that place. No poor people amongst them. Why? Because poverty creates jealousy, it creates envy, it creates a whole lot of things. So how are we going to deal with the spirit of jealousy? How are we going to deal with the spirit of envy? We're going to make sure everybody got something. We're going to make sure people have a start, somewhere to build. You know, it made me think about the talent. The one talent guy can't be jealous of the three talent guy because he don't have capacity for, I'm sorry, for two talent guy. He don't have the capacity for two talents. Neither does he have the capacity for the five that the other guy got. But if he could take that one and do something with it, listen, if he had just taken the one, he couldn't even take the one. We didn't have the right mindset to take the one, you know? But that master gave everybody something. Why? Because he needed them to take care of his house, and he didn't need nobody to be jealous of the other but to spend time doing what they need to do concerning the thing that they were given. Y'all know that they got little YouTube videos of kids playing with toys. That thing just came up in my spirit when I was talking about the envy, you know? Coveting, covetousness is what the adversary is also interested in when it comes to children. They see somebody with something they wanted. But they have little videos of kids playing with toys. So your kids will sit and watch these kids playing with toys and say, ooh, I want that. They used to just use commercials, right? Now it's on YouTube and they'll sit and watch it all day. We got some real stuff that we got on our hands to deal with. We got some stuff to deal with. We really do, but the Father is our help. And we will not be afraid. We will do what needs to be done and bring deliverance to the household. Bring deliverance to our children, our grandchildren. We'll bring deliverance to generations because we stood. We stopped running and we stood. Yeah. I love y'all. Peace to your house. We're going to put on our armor, and we're going to go wherever the Father sends us to go and do whatever he's telling us to do, because we know that he's tender fight for us. And in the case where we have to fight, it's him that's fighting with us or on our behalf. So it's not even us wielding the sword. It's him in us that's causing us to wield it. So we're thankful this morning for his presence and for his person amongst us, for his spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. And so we're just thankful this morning. We love you guys. We'll be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. dealing with these discussions about deliverance. I say buckle your seatbelt, because I don't know what the Father wants to do or how he wants to do it, but I'd even encourage you. If you know other people with children, to encourage them to come on a line during the season, because they don't need to get this information or send it to them via, I know how to send them the information. Send it to them. They're dealing with some stuff, and deliverance needs to come to the house now so destruction doesn't come. I love y'all. Peace to your house.
Can you share the information so we'll know how to share it?
Yes, ma'am.
Send it.
If you are on that link that I sent you before, is just now we send it to you, just the link for Kingdom Ambassadors on Blog Talk Radio. I'll send you that link, and that's the link that you'll just copy and share. Or you can go directly to whatever thing you want to share. Open up that broadcast and go up to the top and copy the link and share that. Yes. Okay. Peace to your house, guys. We love you. The body is not a new thing, it's a weak thing. And we're going to stand together in this season as we need to go up at once, because we're well able to take the land. This giant is coming down, and deliverance will come to the people of Yah. I love you. Peace. Thank you.